Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Doubly Poetry, daughter of the late, great Jane Zane of the living and giving Lisa L, and welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want.
This yo, yo, you guys, what is going on? Welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. It is your girl here, Simply T Doubly Poetry. Welcome, welcome to the sun shining wherever you are, light, bright, even if it's rainy and gloomy. You guys, y'all made it through another day, and I'm so happy and elated to know that you all are still here blessing us on this universe. And I just want to talk about something real quick, you guys, because, you know, my transitions be fucked up, so I just get right into it. Something that's been weighing on my heart, the thing been heavy, and it has created a very huge sense of I think internal thinking with me. Like, I've really been conflicting about a lot of things, but one thing that is very clear to me when it comes to how I deal with people, I'm a very forgiving person, and some people like to say that it is because I'm a Pisces, right? Like, Pisces are very forgiving from what I heard. I'm not very zodiac astrology smart, but I have heard a lot of times that, oh, you're a Pisces, you're a very forgiving person. I don't have a lot of Pisces qualities, but I think I do own that one. And in regards to that, the one thing that I cannot forgive for is betrayal. Like, baby, that thing right there, that thing is powerful. It is something to be said about a person who you hold in an esteemed position and they know you, and then they purposefully do something to harm you. What? Like, because you let your guard down. And with a person like me who has such a stoned wall personality, to get past that has taken you so much time and effort, and me so much vetting and fighting. You know what I mean? Because I've been trying to get rid of you my whole life, and then you won't go nowhere. So now you're in there. That's pretty much how it works for me and mine. So if you can, like, continue to just love me, because I'm very loving, but it's just a hard wall to penetrate, right? So if you penetrate that wall and then you do something specifically to harm, hurt me, then I'm like, who are you? Like, I don't know you. I don't want to know you. And that's just, like, really big for me. So knowing that, I was, you know, social media, the news, whatever, it's all the same, right? I was online, and, you know, the thing came up about Prince Harry and how he is leaving his family because of all the negative issues and just downright disrespect that he is receiving from having a Black princess, duchess, queen on his side. And so, like, I'm like, okay, so the melanin is just popping too hard over in the UK. And he was just like, yeah, I'm good. I'm a leave. Now, look here. The first thing I thought, I'm like, this man is leaving his family for his wife. Like, that's what it boils down to. He is like, y'all can't respect my wife, I'm out. Now, I know some niggas right now that's over there at their mama crib, blowing an L, talking shit about their wife. Right now, I can call them. But they love their wife to death, but they just like, it's on some straight vent type thing. I'm going home tomorrow, but I'm just saying, moms, right now. This man was like, nah, ain't gonna be none of that. I'm up. Y'all can have it. So in my mind, number one, I'm thinking, she probably got some good is what I was thinking. That's probably wrong, but hell, I'm human and I like women, and I'm thinking, damn,
that snatch must be snatched.
And then I'm like, she done gave him the good. He, listen, y'all, it's not just he's leaving his family. Like, let me be clear. Because this, I'm going to put this in perspective. He is leaving a royal bloodline. Like, he is literally saying, I don't even want the bloodline no more. Like, generations and generations, like, you are born into majesty and honor. Like, it's just what you do. You wake up and you're a freaking prince. And he like, you know what? I'm good on that. I'm good. I could wake up tomorrow and be a regular motherfucker just so I don't have to deal with y'all. Y'all know how disrespected and annoyed you gotta be with somebody to just denounce your whole throne? Like, what? What the Princess Zamunda say? I denounce my throne. I am no longer the Princess Zamunda. Prince Harry said, I denounce my throne. I am no longer the Prince of the UK. I'm married to Meghan Markle. Y'all, I'll wake up tomorrow and see what the hell that means when I wake up. But for now, I will not be waking up in this motherfucking no more. So my hat is all the way off for Mr. Prince Harry, because he don't fuck with that betrayal shit either. Y'all ain't about to sit here, talk about the one I love and think it's going to be okay. Y'all can have this country. Y'all can have all this royal thrones and people walking behind me, all that shit. Y'all can keep it. Me and my wife going to be out. We just going to work between America. We just going to wake up and see how financially stable we can be as us. What? Who? Man, I read a tweet today. That thing was so funny. And I was like, yes, that joint is real. But it made me smile a little bit. It was a tweet from Michael Harry. And Michael said, when the black delegation traded Kanye in the racial draft for a pick to be named later, no one thought they'd get a member of the royal family. As if to say, we put Kanye up in a racial draft. And then some, I guess the UK put Prince Harry up. And who knew? Who knew that we would get Prince Harry? We got royalty, but royalty. We got UK royalty inside our DNA. I am elated, you guys. It is just so funny to me. I don't know if it's funny to you, but it's damn funny to me, okay? So I just want to hat off, curtsy, whatever it is you do to say congratulations, thank you, your highness, your royalness. You a regular motherfucker. All that over here. So congratulations to Prince Harry and the Duchess Meghan Markle, or now just Meghan Markle, for being just some amazing damn people. You guys, check that out. Because in the world that we live in today, you're just going to have to fight and fight and fight for the things that you want. And that's exactly what they did. They just like... Not we gonna fight, like, we gonna put our dukes up, no pun intended, we gonna put our dukes up, and we just gonna, you know, see what happened. And it just brings me to what the show is all about today, which is about Tiffany, the ticking time bomb. She is a fighter, and she fights, and she's a combat fighter. She's super, super dope. She does kickboxing, she does all types of MMA. She's just super amazing. She has all types of accolades, you guys. Just look her up, Tiffany the Time Bomb. You'll hear all about her soon. She will be on the show. But yeah, you guys, she is going to give you so much information on how she became just like this number one phenomenon. She is taking over the industry, and she's pretty much wanted around the globe. She is wanted because people want to fight her and take her title. And she is wanted because, well, she's a bomb ass chick. So yeah, you guys, check out the show. Super excited about Tiffany being on the show, and I'm super elated that you guys made it with me. Welcome again, and stay tuned for the Paradigm Shift Convo. Y'all.
She is the two-time Bennaweight kickboxing champion of the world, Tiffany the Time Bomb Van Soos. Now, let me tell y'all a little bit about this amazing character that we have. She has the ability to do poetry. She has the ability to kick ass. She has the ability to remain feminine, keeping her emotional side up and forward in everything that she does. And I'm just super excited to begin to talk to her and delve into a little bit of the things that she is about. So, Miss Tiffany, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for that intro. That was wild.
I'm super, super excited. I am a fan, and I don't even know anything about kickboxing. I am just a Tiffany fan, and just the fact that you are the time bomb just makes it all worthwhile. So I want you to kind of just delve into a little bit about how you got into kickboxing, because I know a little bit about your background story, but I do want you to make sure we get in the Ninja Turtles and how that all became a part of it.
I guess my love for martial arts started when I was really, really little. I grew up in the time of the Ninja Turtles and the Power Rangers, and I was really into Ninja Turtles, and I wanted to learn karate, and from karate, I became a professional Muay Thai fighter and kickboxer, and I never planned for it. I mean, I was just a little girl that had a lot of energy with the tomboy side and really liked to punch and kick things, and then here I find myself living this crazy life as a professional prize fighter. I never in a million years did I think it was going to go that way until it happened. So I just I'm really, really grateful. It's been a wild, wild journey with it's been my vehicle for self-discovery and self-expression for the most part. And it's just, it's wild. And the journey continues. It's got twists and turns that are different and ups and downs every day.
Right.
It's never boring.
Yeah, I look at you on social media and I see that you have so much going on all the time. Like even right now, you're doing a seminar, right? Where are you at right now?
Yeah, I'm currently in Austin, Texas at the Onnit gym, and we're doing a 4-day Muay Thai camp. Myself and two other professional fighters are running two sessions a day for a group of about 30 students, and it's a really really focused group on a lot of different aspects of Muay Thai. It's great. It's been great so far, and we're going back for our second session really soon.
That's super cool. I think it's awesome how that even though you've become this superstar in your craft, you still take the time to teach and give back the things that you've learned.
Oh, I've been teaching since I was 15 years old. Well, I was my very, very first job was a karate instructor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So even before then, like when I was little in karate, I would stay after my class and ask my sensei if I could stretch out the peewee class, like the 5 and 6-year-old class, when I was like 9, 10, 11, you know. So I don't know, there's just something from deep within me that always wanted to teach and help. So I guess you know, I just was able to make that happen and find that from a very, very young age, and that's been kind of like my base and my home when at the everything of how I've shared my passion and made my living.
So let's talk about your passion and kind of how you got involved in it, because I know that you started young and it's always been your thing, but had you ever imagined that you would take your karate at 15 from 8 to 15 to where you are now?
Absolutely not. I was just, you know, like I said, a little girl that liked to punch and kick with a little, like a tomboy side and a lot of energy. And, you know, I was very competitive. I was very determined. I knew that I wanted to be a black belt. That was for sure. And once that happened, I had to get a second degree black belt and compete. And so I did that. And after that, it was like, well, maybe I'll try this Muay Thai thing. It's more full contact. It's harder. It's different. And so I tried that. And then that one ended up being the one that stuck.
So explain to me and for the rest of the audience, because I'm super ignorant in the karate mixed martial arts fields, and I know that you have dabbled in the mixed martial arts as well. I know you made that transition from kickboxing to martial arts. So tell us kind of like a little bit about what Muay Thai is and the difference between the kickboxing that you do and the mixed martial arts competitions that you compete in.
So for me, like you said, I've competed in mixed martial arts, which is like what you'll see in the UFC or Bellator. It's in a cage. We wear 4-ounce gloves. There's stand-up fighting. There's takedowns allowed. There's ground fighting and submissions allowed. The rounds are longer, and it's more of the mainstream type of fighting that you'll see today.
Okay.
And then there's Muay Thai, which is the national sport. It comes from Thailand, which is also known as the Art of Eight Limbs, where fighters can use punches, kicks, knees, elbows, vertical grappling, and throws and sweeps. But once it hits the ground, the fighters are stood back up and it remains, you know, or it continues. They wear boxing gloves. It's a very traditional sport. It goes back to ancient historical times, and has evolved over centuries to what it is now. But it's one of the main streams of income throughout Thailand, because the fights are like, it's like how baseball is in the States, you know, it's just their everything.
Right.
And kickboxing, which is what I currently do, is punches, kicks, and knees only. So there's no elbows, there's no throws. It's a bit more of a faster pace. You'll see a lot more boxing influence, whereas in Muay Thai, you'll see a lot more kicking and knees. It's scored differently, and there's a different pace. So I've done Muay Thai. I was a five-time world champion in Muay Thai. And then I transitioned to a different sport, which is kickboxing, which is where I currently am now. And I've tried MMA a couple of times.
How'd you like the MMA world?
It's really difficult. It's super challenging. There's a lot to worry about. And there's a lot of different variables when you're so used to fighting in one style, and you have to make all these adjustments to suit the rules and the other aspects of MMA. I mean, I have a lot of respect for MMA fighters.
So you've been doing this for a really long time, just been in those spaces and been in those circles of kind of combat sport, right? This is considered combat sport.
Yeah, combat sports,
it's
exactly.
Crazy. So what's your workout regimen like? Because let me tell y'all, I know it's a radio show. I'm always saying you can never see my guests. But Tiffany is a beast. Like, her body is perfection. She looks so beautiful. What are you, 5'4", 121 is kind of like your, that's bantamweight, right? Time?
Let's go. Yeah, I fight at 122 pounds in the super bantamweight division. But in between fights, you know, when I'm eating well and, you know, enjoying food a little bit more and not so strict, I typically am about between 130 and 135 pounds.
Yes. Still, like, always looks so lean, beautiful, beautiful spirit, and it just shows, radiates throughout your skin, not to mention you have this amazing complexion. What? Your family's, like, Indonesian. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful complexion. So
thank you very much.
Just a very beautiful, beautiful female, and this amazing weight to height composition that you carry so well. How difficult is it to do to be a female in these combat sports?
You know, it's been kind of difficult in the sense that, I mean, as far as treatment goes, we show up to fight. We sometimes, when they're able to, they give us our own dressing rooms, but you know, separate from the men. But that doesn't happen often. You know, they do their best. We do all the same things the guys do, but the one thing is we don't get paid as much.
And that is just an overarching issue in all things sports, right? Like, I know it was huge with the soccer team.
Yeah, totally.
And a lot like soccer, when it comes to combat, it's the combat sports, it's worldwide. It's not a national thing. Like, you all are worldwide fighting literally in other countries.
Yeah, I fight in other countries all the time.
All the time.
Fighting has allowed me to see the world. So, you know, it doesn't matter where we fight, you know, it always seems to be the same. I mean, I think as women, as emotional creatures, there's so much passion and fire in us when we fight. It's, you know, we're often more technical than the men and show a different side to the brutality that is fighting. We make it beautiful. We make it exciting. Like, it's a work of art in motion. And for some reason, you know, and like they feel like we don't deserve to be paid the same as the men for doing something, you know, for doing something so exquisite.
And how do you deal with that?
Not to mention, like, you know, brutal.
Right. To be able to still be so aggressive, forward and hard, and then still do it with elegance. How do you deal with that personally? Because this is your passion. This is what you love to do. And it's just something within the realm of society in general that you have to deal with. How do you deal with it? Like, how do you still wake up every morning and do what I want to talk about next, the workout regimen that you do, only to kind of be slighted every time you do it?
I don't know. There's just something inside of me that is bigger than the money, which is unfortunate because I know what I'm worth and I'm going to get what I'm worth. Mark my words. But maybe my position in life is to be one of the trailblazers for it, one of the first to set the path. You know, some people have to blaze the path, and then so that there's a path for others to follow. You know, and maybe that's the position that I've been put in. I don't know, but you know, I'm very grateful to do what I do. And I'm also very competitive. So put those two together and it helps get me out of bed in the morning.
Every morning.
It gets me into the gym or it gets me, you know, my shoes on my feet so I can go for that run nice and early. You know, even though I'm tired, I'm sore, I'm hungry. You know, there's just something inside of me that says this is what you need to do.
Right. I love it. I love the drive and the motivation, the ambition to just continue to keep going despite what society says. I think that is something that is innate in women in general, because we have always had a trailblazer because, you know, things just weren't given to us. So to know that you have it for the thing that you're so passionate about is dope and necessary. It's necessary because you're right. Somebody has to be the trailblazer. And a lot of combat fighters, females, I'm sure they're just happy to be in the ring. But I know that for you, there's a bigger purpose in it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I feel that is to do that, you know, it's my responsibility to be in the best condition physically, mentally, and emotionally that I can be the best me so that I can perform the best so that I can't be denied and that I do get what I'm worth and help others, you know, the others coming up behind me or my sister's standing next to me to get the same.
Right. So let's talk about your workout regimen, because I've been watching and there's something I need to talk to you about, because I think that we need to have a conversation about it. Now, I've seen you in the gym and I'm not exactly sure, because I've seen splices, right? It's just these video reels of Tiffany working out. and you do some interesting things that I've never seen before. And there's one thing in particular that I want to discuss with you that's been haunting me. You were kicking a palm tree.
Now, the banana tree.
Oh my God. I was like, and you did it like back to back to back. I was like, I know her leg hurts. Like, I know. And I was just like, it was like you kicking a wall. You didn't stumble. You were so planted firm on your one foot and kicking the hell out of this tree with your other foot over and over and over and over again. And I was like, beast mode. Like, drop mic moment. Poetry, this is a drop mic moment. So tell me what your workout regimen is like besides kicking banana trees, probably in Bali somewhere.
That was in Bali. That was just a Sunday afternoon. My friends and I were walking through the rice fields on our way back from the beach, and we were just kind of messing around. And one of my friends was like, hey, you should go kick that banana tree and I'll film it, because there's a famous Muay Thai fighter who has done it. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And so he filmed it, and I was like, should I post it? And he's like, yeah, do it. And I did, and it went viral. And I was like, holy shit, what just happened?
I can't imagine some of the comments that happened after it went viral, like what people were saying. I didn't even read one, but I'm just thinking now, like, I should have read them for 50 hours.
50 Cent reposted it. Like, it went viral.
So what else do you do with your workout regimen?
I do strength and conditioning 2 to 3 days a week, which involves, like, a lot of resistance band training, sometimes some weights, kettlebells. It's all very functional, and it's movements are areas in my body that that need to be strengthened that I'm going to use in a fight. So everything I do relates directly to fighting in some way. So it's all very efficient. Ranges from like balance and agility to speed and reaction to strength and power and plyometrics. You know, so it's a little bit of everything.
Yo, that's super dope. I'm telling you, when I saw it, I was like, I might do that one thing maybe one time. Everything else, like, I did see a lot of the resistant bands and like you running against the resistant bands. I've seen a lot of pushing of weights, and the coolest thing I saw that I don't think I've ever seen, but I don't really follow a lot of fighters, is when you were bouncing the ball on a trampoline and then kind of like doing your jab and then catching the ball real fast. Like, I was like, oh, she got them hands. That was quick work. That was quick work. I like that.
Thank you. So, yeah, my coach Nim, my strength and conditioning coach, he's a wizard, man. He's amazing at what he does and keeps me in top form. So
I know that you spent some time in Bali.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about how, and I know your family is from Indonesia, but I want you to kind of give us some understanding on how you got there and how that kind of springboarded you into fighting as hard and different tactics and stuff.
I went there for the first time, I think, in 2014 or 2015. And it was somewhere that I always wanted to go, because my dad would always talk about, we're going on a surf trip to Bali, we're going on a surf trip to Bali. And like having a little bit of Indonesian blood, you know, I wanted to see that as well. And I finally got an opportunity to go, and I fell in love with it. And that was that.
That's crazy. How gorgeous is it there?
Pardon me?
How gorgeous is it there?
It's dreamlike. It's like waking up in a postcard every day.
I like that. Did you work out? Did you train while you were there?
Yeah, every day. There's a gym there following every day. It's like my second family. They're home away from home. Oh, they're home on the other side of the world. The training there is great. It's world class.
Volunteering to help people in need is a noble gesture. Volunteering to lay down your life for your country is a sacrifice that can never be repaid. In an effort to keep my fellow veterans connected to society and each other, this is VetNet. Veterans, have you ever been interested in information technology, cybersecurity, or even hacking? Well, the Federal Virtual Training Environment, FedVTE, is a free online
on-demand cybersecurity training system that is available at no charge. Managed by the Department of Homeland Security, FedVTE contains more than 800 hours of training on topics such as ethical hacking and surveillance, risk management, and malware analysis. Course proficiency ranges from beginner to advanced levels. Several courses align with a variety of IT certifications, such as Network Plus, Security Plus, and the Certified Information Systems Security Professional, that certification that I am after, you guys. As the technology advances, the United States must continue to develop a workforce of effective cybersecurity professionals. And who more qualified to be these professionals than veterans? The substantial investment made by these programs like this help veterans like us find the education and training needed to advance our careers and close the skill gaps in the cybersecurity workforce. To know more about the FedVTE program, all you have to do is log on to FedVTE, Fed like the first three letters of federal, VTE, Victor Tango Echo, .uslearning, that's United States Army, learning as in that thing you did in school, .gov, that's fedvte.usalearning.gov. Thank you, FedVTE, for continuing to put veterans and their families first. Veterans, let's stay connected.
I want to go into who your idols are now, being where you are in your professional career, because let's be clear, like, you have titles on top of titles on top of titles, Tiffany. You are a celebrity. You have over a million or about a million followers, like, and I don't know how big the kickboxing world is, but it's huge. I know you've been at sold out arenas, you've done these things, so I'm just curious to know, who do you look toward in this situation when you're on the top?
Ultimately, you know, like I mentioned before, there's just this drive from within to keep going, to keep pushing, and to keep discovering newer and better versions of myself as I progress. But other athletes that I really look up to, Bethany Hamilton, the professional surfer, she's somebody that I've always been super inspired by, her drive and dedication and perseverance, as well as her gentle heart, are something that are just wonderful. And she's definitely somebody that I look up to.
Okay, I like that. And I know that you kind of have a background with surfing. You've been doing it for a long time. You're native San Diego, I know, right? You're native San Diego?
I grew up in Riverside, but I moved to San Marcos when I was just out of high school. I went to Cal State San Marcos and made San Diego my home, other than being in Bali.
Of course. No, we're, yeah. Bali's definitely home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just throw out some things that I heard commentators, professionals say about your fighting style. These are some things that you have been described as. Your footwork and your explosiveness. Somebody says, nasty knees and elbow combination, laser fast hands, always aggressive, she's on another level, queen of the jungle, killing it in her own right, extensive kickboxing talent in the world, can beat the sun in a staring contest. All about Tiffany the Time Bomb. How do you feel about those things being said about you from some of the most critical people in the industry?
I don't really have any words for it. I mean, obviously I'm doing something or give off some type of energy that inspires these type of words to come out of people's mouths, but, it's humbling.
Do you have, when people are so into what you do and being able to be so flawless at the thing that you do, I saw a video. And one of them, it was just like a spotlight. It was just a Tiffany Time Bomb Van Soo spotlight, right? And it was nothing bad. It was just you and your element and basically saying, hey,
this is a great fighter. And it had like 3 million likes and then it had like 200 dislikes, right? So then my question is, why would people dislike it? And I'm like, oh, because they're haters. And so like, what's the dislike about the video? Like the production? Like, what do you not like?
So I don't know.
My question is like, how do you deal with the haters?
First of all, I'm far, far, far from flawless.
Oh.
Very far from it. There's always something to get better at and to improve at. And I'm human. I'm flawed. I have issues, you know. But I just do the best I can to be the best version of myself. But when it comes to it, you know, they just, I read once, just don't read the comments. Don't read the comments. And I really follow that. I rarely read the comments. And I feel like it helps. I'm good.
Right.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, as much support as that might be on there, like, people just, when it comes to social media, there's no consequence for what's being said. Like, you could say something to somebody, the exact same thing in person, you're going to get punched in the face for it, plain and simple.
Right.
But for some reason, because they're hiding behind a screen, you know, these things can be said without any, you know, any consequence. So, you know, I just prefer to not indulge in that or to not give my energy to that.
I definitely understand that. I've heard other celebrities say that as well, like, just don't read the comments.
Yeah.
Because at some point it's almost like, I'm gonna let my work speak for itself kind of thing. Like, I'm just gonna keep doing what I'm doing. Now, yeah, you do exactly what you do so often, and you're so good at it. You're, you had a fight in this month. You just recently had a fight.
Yeah, I fought in Miami last month.
Yes, and that was against a lady named JD Menezes.
Menezes, yes.
Menezes. And so I saw you walking out to that fight, right? And in my mind, I was thinking, wow, Tiffany doesn't even really look phased right now. And I don't know what's going through your head. And obviously, when it comes to combat sports, well, sports in general, but combat sports, I'm sure there's a level of relaxation and that you have to have before you hit the floor. So I'm curious to know, when you're fighting in different fights, is there fights that you're ever super confident about, or do you go into every fight with the notion of it's any given Sunday, like anybody can do it, despite how I might be the underdog, or despite how this person is gonna be the underdog? Because there was, I think, some fights that you've had that's been like a 10-1 for the person that you're fighting. So obviously you're just a champ, so you're consistently high, but is there ever a chance where, or the thoughts come through where it's like, I'm not letting my guard down despite what the statistics are?
Every fight is a little bit different. I mean, the goal is to always be as calm and relaxed as possible, but, you know, I feel like there's been different themes and different things that I've dealt with in different fight camps leading up to these fights. And, you know, my mindset for a specific opponent to execute a specific game plan might influence how I feel before a fight. You know, how something in my outside life, something drastic might have an effect on my approach, or a type of emotion. Like, you know, in my fight in March, it was a rematch against the opponent who took the title from me. And I felt really charged up and really heated and emotional. And you know, I brought that energy into the ring with me. Whereas this last fight, last month, my energy was very different. I've been through a lot, you know, over the last year, and then leading up to this last fight, and it taught me a lot about being patient and being relaxed. And, you know, I changed some things up in my diet, which probably also affected, not probably, but definitely affected my, like, my hormone levels and my brain, so that everything is more leveled. And, you know, I was feeling a lot more calm. And like you said, it just looked like I was just, you know, walking to take the trash out. Like it was no big deal.
Right. Do you do meditation and things to kind of get to that point?
I do meditation to try to keep myself sane.
Right.
I'm crazy and I'm not, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I embrace it. You know, it's what makes me great at what I do. And it's what allows me to feel so deeply and to, sometimes it can feel like a curse and it gets a little wild upstairs, but, the meditating definitely helps keep the crazies away.
Right. So what, I don't know the sport that well, but I'm curious to know if Tiffany the Time Bomb has some type of like signature move when you're fighting. Like, is there a Tiffany move that people are like, oh, there it is. It's that TKO move.
I like to think I'm well-rounded with more than one trick up my sleeve. So I think there are a number of things that I practice and that I do in my fights that are consistent throughout all my fights.
Well, I've definitely seen like your quick hand movements. I think that's probably like my favorite thing. The way that you're just so fast. I feel like by the time the other person, your opponent, has the time to get their thing together, it's like too late. She's already making another move into the next big thing. So I'm definitely a fan. Again, just being ignorant to the sport and seeing you do it compared to the other people that I see do it, watching it, I'm like, oh, now I see why she has the talent that she has or has the position that you have in the sport. So I definitely commend you just as a athlete, first of all, being a woman and being in such a badass competitive sport. It's so forward and aggressive. It's so aggressive. And sometimes it's like, as females, we don't get to be that, you know? Like, I want to kick somebody in the face one day.
Yeah, but we have that in us, you know? That's that inner female energy. That's just its strength. It's, you know, we give life to other lives. You know, we have that strength inside of us that men don't.
So, right.
You know, it's just now being shown to the world, starting to. More and more women are starting to do things like fight and you know, and display that strength in other ways. So, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
I'm just grateful to be able to express myself in that way.
I love it. I think that's the same way with poetry. It's not mainstream by any means. But, you know, in its own right, there are people who have million followers and there are people who have 300 followers, you know? And it's just about how your passion for what you do. And in every community, you know, it's niche, right? So you can still be a kickboxer and nobody could follow you, but that's not you. You're pioneering your sport. That alone is commendable and honorable. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of everything that you're doing. So I just want to say thank you for continuing to just keep your femininity and being a badass at what you're doing and pioneering through for other females, despite the genre in which you're doing it. Because a female moving in a positive direction with the thing that she loves is a win for all of us. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm super excited about the things that you have coming and the things that you're going to be. And that's just not as a fighter, but just as you as a person, because you continue to give back to the thing that you love. You take time out for yourself and then you still, you know, kick ass on the weekend. So I'm super excited about it. So I want to, before we close out, I do want to give you the opportunity to just let people know where they can find and learn more about Tiffany the Time Bomb. So go ahead and give us any other last thoughts and definitely where we can find you.
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram at Tiffany Time Bomb, all one word, no spaces. There's a link to buy my poetry book called Poems Provoke. in the bio to that Instagram. It's johnnybangreilly.com. My poetry book is for sale there. I'm on Facebook. Tiffany Time Bomb Bansus is my athlete page. And one last thought that I want to leave the world with, other than thank you to, you know, my supporters, thank you to the listeners, my sponsors, Monster Energy, Onnit, and NanoCraft CBD. Oh, it sounds so corporate when I do that, but it needs to be done. Grateful nonetheless, really.
Absolutely.
You know, I just want to remind everybody to be kind, you know, to do something nice for somebody, you know, and helping somebody else, you help yourself grow as well. To be compassionate and to be strong.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Damn, you want my job, girl? That was amazing. You can close out the whole show. Thank you so much. You guys, once again, thank you. You guys, make sure you follow Tiffany the Time Bomb Van Sue on everything that she mentioned. Thank you so much again for taking the time out to talk to me and get my listeners involved in everything that you do. I'm ever so grateful. Tiffany the Time Bomb, you guys, y'all know what to do.
Back in the day, wooden soapboxes were used as platforms for orators to speak to the masses. And now, these speakers are known as slammers, spoken word artists, poets, exposing divisive culture and their souls 3 minutes at a time. And this segment is my modern day wooden platform. So listen carefully. As a new artist takes the stage, and I bring you today's 90 Second Soapbox.
Hi. I'm Tiffany. I do this thing where I get in the ring. There's an opponent, a ref, and a bell that goes ding. My fists I throw, my shins I swing. My defense is dope, my footwork is mean. I'm relentless, and I do my thing until the fat lady sings. I'm like Muhammad Ali. I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. What's up, my friend? Couldn't forget the great Bruce Lee. See, fighting, it's my thing. I'm no ordinary girl. I'm the best in the world. That means I'm the champion. Thousands of fans screaming my name in the stands. My skills pay the bills, ain't life grand? So it seems. I love living my dreams. But here's the thing. I can talk to cameras, do interviews, shake hands, no problem. When I'm at work, I'm like Batman saving Gotham. I'm a superhero. But I feel like a super zero inside. Why? It's hard for me to look people in the eye when I'm not wearing my cape and I'm not flying high, because I'm painfully, terribly, and awkwardly shy. My palms sweat, I hate my thighs, I struggle to socialize, sifting through social lies, but still I try. Sometimes it's good and goes as it should. Sometimes I just ask why. Why don't I know what to ask or how to stand? Why don't I know what to do with my hands? Other than punch people. I second guess my words, I think way too fast. I'm thinking about thinking, now I'm stuttering while I'm speaking. And I'm feeling the havoc anxiety is wreaking while my soul is just seeking a connection, but I'm sinking. The championship. Champions don't feel like this, do they? But I do. And I'll tell you that the feeling of getting hit hurts less than the feeling I get in a crowded room and I just want to split. I just want to part ways, and I just want to get rid of this socially crippling, embarrassing shit. Hi, I'm Tiffany. I do this thing where I get in the ring. There's an opponent, a ref, and a bell that goes ding. My fists I throw, my shins I swing. My defense is dope. You heard this thing. Look, not many have beaten me. I'm the champ. But not against anxiety.
So this concludes another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. We are here every single Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For everything Simply Tea and to get previews to upcoming shows, visit simplyteepoetry.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. This is your girl, Simply T, Doubly Poetry. Y'all know what to do. Get at me. Let go.